please get your Bibles and turn them to Romans chapter 12. And we want to read just the first two verses, which will be our text for tonight's message. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul speaking, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add His divine blessing to the reading of His holy word. Here in our passage, the Apostle Paul is calling us to give our total commitment to the Lord. He exhorts us first to present our bodies to God. Second, He exhorts us not to be conformed to this world. And then finally, He exhorts us to be transformed by God's Word. Before I elaborate these three exhortations, which will be our main points in this message, let me first explain the basis for this exhortation. In other words, on what basis is Paul exhorting us? Or in this context, the immediate context, on what basis is Paul exhorting the believers in Rome? Well, notice what Paul says in verse 1. He says, I beseech or I appeal to you. Therefore. Now, that word therefore in verse 1 goes back to Paul's previous discussion about the doctrine of justification by faith alone. If you notice, previously, he has defended the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That is to say, that a man can only be declared righteous before God through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, having defended the doctrine of justification by faith alone, the Apostle Paul begins to exhort his fellow believers in Rome. He says, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and that you do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Earlier we sang from the Psalter, Living for Jesus. There's one line there that captured my mind. That line says, I give myself to thee, why? For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. And this is really the idea that Paul has here when he says, therefore, present your body. We give our body to the Lord because the Lord gave His body for us in the gospel. Or to borrow the pattern that we see in the Heidelberg Catechism. As you know, the Heidelberg Catechism can be divided into three sections. you have sin, and then salvation and service. Now that you are saved from sin, then give your service to the Lord. Now, it's not the opposite. You don't serve in order to be saved from your sin. Or some would also use the three divisions using the word misery, mercy, and ministry. You minister to the Lord. You serve the Lord because you have received His mercy. Because that misery has been taken away from you. And that's precisely what we see here. Paul is saying to us, I am beseeching you, therefore, in light of what God has done for us, and in view of God's mercies, plural, by the mercies of God, present your bodies to the Lord. So let's expound these three exhortations one by one. So first of all, present your bodies to the Lord. Now, in the original, the term present literally means to place in the sight of. And in this context, we are to place our bodies in the sight of the Lord, or before the Lord. And here the Apostle Paul is borrowing the idea from the Old Testament offering, where a priest would bring a sacrifice and place that sacrifice on the altar before the Lord, in front of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord. And that's the idea that we have here. The only difference is, we are both the offering and the priest. It may sound awkward, but the sacrifice that you are going to present or offer to the Lord is your own body. So you carry your own body, you are the sacrifice, and at the same time, you are the priest. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. Therefore, we don't need someone to offer us to the Lord. We do the offering, and we are the offering, and we present our bodies in front of the Lord. Boys and girls, I remember this story about a little girl who had no money. She was very poor, and she attended a worship service like this. And she really wanted to give to the Lord. When it was time for offering, she really wanted to give something to the Lord, but she had no money. And so what she did, she took the offertory plate, and then she put it down like this. And then she tried to put herself inside that offertory plate, because she wanted to give herself to the Lord. She was the offering, and she wanted to give her body to the Lord as an offering. And what a beautiful picture here that we have. That as we come to the Lord, as we worship Him, we bring our bodies as an offering. As an offering. You know, sometimes when we think of offering, right away we think of money, don't we? When we think of offering, right away we think of our possession. But when was the last time that you think of yourself as an offering to the Lord? John Calvin, commenting on this verse, especially on the word body, or plural here, bodies, because Paul is addressing all the believers in Rome, present your bodies. So John Calvin said, by bodies, Paul means not only our skin and bones, but the totality of which we are composed. In short, we are to offer the totality of our beings. And this is really a radical call to commit ourselves totally to God. It includes not only our body, but our soul as well. The totality of our being. Although the emphasis here is on our body, and so that really means when we come to the Lord, we offer our entire body, our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our mouth, our hands, our feet, everything. And when we think of that, practically, do you know what it implies? That means that when we worship the Lord, we come with our entire being, with our body. We present our ears, for instance, as we listen to God's Word. We want to use our two ears to listen to the Word of God. We want to use our hands to serve the Lord. We want to use our eyes as instruments for righteousness. We want to use our tongue to sing praises to the Lord. We want to use our mind, our heart, to love the Lord, not evil, not Satan. Offer your entire being to the Lord. And this means that really our bodies do not belong to us anymore, but to God. Martin Luther once said, "If anyone knocks at the door of my heart and says, 'Who lives there?' my answer is, 'Jesus Christ lives here,' not Martin Luther." And that's the point of the Apostle Paul, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when he says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is now Jesus who lives in you. And so that body that you have does not really belong to you anymore. It belongs to Jesus. He purchased it after all. Now, one of my favorite Lord's Days in the Catechism is Lord's Day 1, where it says, "What is our comfort in this life? What is your only comfort in this life?" And the answer is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul to my Lord and Savior, or to my faithful Lord and Savior. And that's my comfort, that this body does not belong to me anymore, but to Jesus. This body is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I need to take care of this body, and therefore, I need to use this body for His glory, not for my own sake, not for my own glory. And therefore, it means too that I'm not going to use my eyes to watch pornography, or I'm not going to use my ears to listen to ungodly, wicked songs. That means that I'm not going to use my hands to do wicked things. I'm not going to use my feet to go to a place where I know I will be offending my God. I need to use all the members, parts of my body for the Lord. And so the question is this: are you using all the parts of your body for the Lord? Your eyes, what is it that you watch? Your ears, what is it that you listen to? Your brain, your mind, what are you thinking of? Are you thinking of heavenly things? Your heart,
What is it that you are loving? Your hands. Are you using your hands to serve the Lord? Your feet. Where do you go?
Present your bodies. Now here's the question. How should we present our bodies to the Lord? Well, in three ways. First, Paul says here, "So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," how? "As a living sacrifice." Now, boys and girls, in the Old Testament, when you offered to the Lord, when you offered an animal, for instance, you had to kill that animal. Now, when we present our bodies to the Lord, we don't need to kill our bodies. Because according to Paul here, when you present now your body, you do so as a living, not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. Which means that we don't need to wait until we die before we serve the Lord. You know, our young people, they often say, "Well, I'm going to serve the Lord in this church once I am old." But you don't know if you're still alive tomorrow. You want to serve the Lord now. You want to offer your body, yourself now, as a living sacrifice while you are still alive. Because I tell you, and I talk to some elderly people who are now in their 80s, 90s. They would love to do a lot of things for the Lord, but their bodies would not allow them anymore. They could hardly sit during worship service. It's hard for them to travel. It's hard for them to even read the Bible because their eyes are not as good as they used to be. And so this is a challenge to all of us. While we are still young and strong, while we are still very much alive, this is the right time, young people, children, that we present our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And then secondly, Paul adds, so present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then secondly, holy. Holy. Now, in the original, the word holy can also be translated as set apart. So, the idea is this. As we present our bodies to the Lord, we need to set apart our bodies for the Lord. After all, our bodies are not ours anymore, but God's. They belong to God. And they should be used for God's glory. They should be separated for the Lord's work. We should consecrate our entire bodies to the Lord for His service. For His service. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, Paul says, "Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer," listen now please, "offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness." Philippians 1 verse 20, Paul says, "I desire that Jesus Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." This should be our desire, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be honored in our body, in all the members of our body, in our eyes. The question is Jesus being honored in my eyes? Is God being honored in my ears? Is God being honored in my tongue? Or am I using my tongue to gossip? Am I using my tongue to tell a lie? Boys and girls. Boys and girls. Are you using your tongue for the glory of God? your hands? Are you using it to serve, to help others, or maybe to hurt others? How about your feet? What are you using them for? Are you using them for God's glory? So this is really a radical call for total, absolute commitment to the Lord. And then, third, so how are we to offer our bodies to the Lord? So first, as a living sacrifice. Second, as holy. And then finally, as acceptable or pleasing to God. You see that again in verse 1. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Now notice what Paul says. Acceptable or pleasing to God, not to men. Because as you desire to please the Lord, you will and you will sometimes unconsciously displease others. Displease others. I remember what D.L. Moody, a great evangelist, a man said to him, "Now that I am converted, have I got to give up the world? Now that I am a believer in Christ, do I have to give up the world?" Mr. Moody answered, "No, you do not have to give up the world. If you have a good ringing testimony for the Son of God, the world will give you up pretty quick. They will not want you around." You know, I experienced that. I remember when I was a new Christian, I was in the Philippines when the Lord saved me. I was a teenager. I don't recall the exact date, but I know for sure that it took place in 1996. Because that's when I saw the marks of saving grace in my life. Before my conversion, I was a gambler. I would go to a disco house, party here and there. And I was a member of a fraternity. And I would hang out with ungodly friends. I remember drinking gin to the point of getting drunk, just vomiting. It was awful. And so the Lord saved me. The Lord changed my life. And I was still a baby Christian. I remember in our neighborhood, there was a Bible study. And I was on the way there. It's probably hard for you to picture this setting, because in the Philippines, houses are right next to each other. And so when, let's say, one of your neighbors is having fun there, drinking, you can see them. Sometimes you can pass by them. And so I happened to pass by this group of people, ungodly people drinking gin, usually gin. And so they saw me, and they said, "Brian, have a shot of gin." And I said to the person, his name is Nunoy. I said, "Nunoy, I'm sorry." I said, "In fact, I don't drink anymore. And the truth is, I'm on the way to a Bible study. If you want, you can come and join us." And then he said, "If you don't drink this, I'm going to pour this on you." And I said, "I'm really sorry. Just pour it on me. I'm not going to drink it." He did. He really did. And my patience was really tested at that moment. And thankfully, by the grace of God, I reacted in a Christ-like way, thankfully. And I said, "Again, I'm sorry." I said, "I'm sorry. I need to go." So I smelled like gin in our Bible study. They hated me. And after that, they would not want to fellowship with me, and they thought that I was a killjoy. And that's what Paul is saying here. When you strive to please God, you will displease the unbelievers. Young people, once you make a resolution to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, your ungodly friends will despise you, will laugh at you, will ridicule you, and they will say to you, you are a killjoy. Look at you, you're now attending that close-minded Reformed church that only believes in the Bible, that believes that Jesus is the only Savior. What a stupid thing to say, that there's only one Savior in this world. They will laugh at you. Oh, so be it. So be it. If that's the price of your obedience to the Lord, so be it. After all, Jesus had to endure the same ridicule and persecution. The world hated Him when He was here. And therefore, let us not expect to be loved by the world. In my prayer, I made a reference to what is happening in Nigeria. Christians are being killed like animals because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are willing, oh, so willing, to serve the Lord no matter what. Now, yes, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. The question is, why? Why? Well, Paul gives a reason why. He says, because this is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Or in other version, spiritual service. In fact, in the original, the word reasonable, it is logikos. Logikos, from which we get the English word logical. When you present your bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, this is your logical service. And the idea is this. If, let's say, tonight, if this evening you come to God with a reservation, not wholeheartedly, if you are here this evening and your mind is wandering around, or maybe you are daydreaming, you are not really giving your 100% to the Lord, you are not serving Him fully, you are not desiring to love Him completely, you don't have the desire. Yes, you are here, but maybe your mind is absent. And then Paul says, what you are doing, the kind of service that you have, is illogical. It is not logical. It doesn't make sense. It is not reasonable. It is not spiritual, but carnal. And that makes sense, right? If you want to serve God, and you don't want to give everything to Him, it doesn't make sense. If you say to God, okay, Lord, okay, let me give my right hand to you, but I still want to use this left hand for sin. Okay, Lord, I'm going to use my right hand or my right eye to read your word. Oh, but Lord, I'm not yet ready to give up my left eye. I still want to look at that malicious movie or whatever it is displeasing to you. I still want to do it. Oh, Lord, maybe half of my tongue, I'm going to use it to sing praises to you, but the other half of it, I still want to gossip. That's illogical. It is not reasonable service. It doesn't make sense. If you really want to have a reasonable, spiritual, logical service, then do what Paul says here. Give your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord. You know what's sad is, in many churches today, during the service, you see people texting or Facebooking, using their smartphones, not paying attention to the Word of God. Paul says, that kind of service is not reasonable. It's illogical. Might as well go home. If you're not prepared to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, if you're not ready, willing to give yourself completely to Him, just go home. Because you're not having a reasonable service. Because God wants us. God wants everything about us. He wants our complete being, the totality of our being. And when we do that, then we give Him our reasonable service. Now, quickly, let's move to my second point here. The other exhortation. Although, I must say, the second exhortation here is really a command. Because in verse 1, Paul is appealing or beseeching his fellow believers. But when he comes to verse 2, he actually commands them. There's a difference between exhortation and command. A command is stronger than an exhortation. You see, he says, I beseech. He uses the term beseech, not I command. I beseech you. I appeal to you. And then when he comes to verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed. That is imperative in the original. It is a command. So the weight of verse 2 is heavier than the weight of the exhortation in verse 1. Do not be conformed to this world. And in Greek also, yes, it is imperative, and it is in the present tense, which implies a continuous action. A continuous action. So, what Paul is saying is this. Listen now, please. Stop allowing yourselves to be conformed to this world. Stop allowing yourselves to be conformed to this world. Now, why? Why stop? Well, because, listen now, please. Yes, we are now believers in Christ. We are now saved by God's grace, but the truth is, we are not yet glorified. We still have the indwelling sin. We still have that flesh. And our flesh is just like our automatic car. Now, I don't know if you noticed, if you have an automatic car, as soon as you release the brake, right? When you release the brake, what happens? The car will move forward automatically on its own. Right? Even if you don't hit the gas, it will just automatically move forward on its own. And that is our flesh. Our flesh is like that. That's why if you don't hit the brake, if you don't stop allowing your flesh to be conformed to this world, it will naturally conform itself to this world. Because that indwelling sin that you have, it loves to sin. That's why we have that struggle right now. And that's what Paul says. So remember in Romans chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, for I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. That sin that dwells within me. I still have that sin. We call it the indwelling sin or the flesh. That flesh wants to sin. That flesh, by default, wants to move forward toward sin, toward Satan. And so Paul says, stop. Hit the brake. Stop allowing your flesh to be conformed to the principles of this world. Of this world. And like what I said, It is present tense, implying a continuous action. The moment you release the brake, it will keep going toward the direction of sin. That's why we daily struggle, don't we? Our battle with sin does not stop. Does not stop. The moment you release your spiritual brake, you will sin. That's why there is no vacation in our Christian life. Because even when you take a vacation, it doesn't mean that you stop becoming a Christian. It doesn't mean that you will just be lax and just again allow the flesh to do whatever it wants. Because if you do that, then that flesh will want nothing but sin. We need to really fight it. It's a daily struggle. You know what? There is a hymn that says, by Robert Robinson. It captures the message of the Apostle Paul here. Listen now, please. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Let it be our prayer every day to say, Lord, my heart is so prone to wander, so prone to leave you that I love. So please take my heart, seal it for thy courts above. Well, I look at the time. I guess I have to stop here. I can always continue this next time. So Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. And really, I pray that this evening, as I close this message, that all of us will take this seriously. That we will give everything that we have to the Lord. Your body, my body. That we will present it and say, Lord, take this. Take my life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Let us pray.